Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
An assassination in London, an assassination in Berlin, and mass murder in Illinois. It's June 1922.
100 years from today.
World News Update, Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson, Chief of the Imperial General Staff during the late war and the sitting Member of Parliament for North Down in Ireland, was ambushed by terrorists at his London home in Belgravia in broad daylight and is dead at 58. He had just attended in full dress uniform the unveiling of the Great Eastern Railway War Memorial at Liverpool Street Station and was returning with Lady Wilson to their home in Eaton Place. As they stepped out of their taxi cab, two men opened fire upon them. Sir Henry's chauffeur and two policemen also died in the ensuing chaos as the attackers were chased down by various passers-by and eventually caught. They have been named as two London-based members of the Irish Republican Army, Reginald Dunn and Joseph O'Sullivan. Scotland Yard have now arrested another 20 IRA men in connection with the murder. And there are dark rumours that the plot may have involved the leader of His Majesty's Provisional Government in Dublin, Mr. Collins. More assassination as the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Just 2 months ago, the German Foreign Minister, Walter Rathenau, successfully concluded the Treaty of Rapallo with Bolshevik Russia. It did not make him popular with certain elements in Germany. Dr. Rathenau, a wealthy Jewish industrialist who had turned to politics as the Kaiser's regime collapsed, was being chauffeured in an open automobile from his home in Grünewald to the Foreign Ministry in the Wilhelmstrasse. A Mercedes touring car pulled alongside. One man opened fire with what appeared to be a submachine gun, putting at least 8 bullets into the Foreign Minister, including one in his brain. Another lobbed a grenade into the vehicle. When news of Dr. Rathenau's assassination reached the Reichstag, shocked members turned their fury on Karl Heifferich of the German National People's Party, who recently gave a speech denouncing the minister. Walter Rathenau was 54. It's important that the Weimar Republic underline that political violence will not be tolerated. On the very day of Dr. Rathenau's murder, the young, charismatic leader of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, Adolf Hitler, began serving his 3-month sentence for assaulting a political rival, Otto Ballerstedt. Herr Hitler is being held at Stadelheim prison in Munich.
Why, there's a change in the weather, there's a change in the sea. So from now on there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me is going to be the same. I'm gonna change my long, tall one for a little short back. I'm gonna change my number where I'm living at, because nobody wants you when you roll that way. There's gonna be some changes, maybe
the changes are being made and Germany is getting smaller. In accordance with the German-Polish Accord on East Silesia, signed just last month, the territory of Ostoberschlesien has been ceded to Poland to become part of the Śląski province. German troops withdrew as the Polish army entered. Many historic cities from Katowice to Königsutter are now lost to Germany. Having approved a new constitution, The government of Latvia has now set a date on which it will come into force 1 minute past midnight on November 7th. The constitution is heavily influenced by that of the Weimar Republic. In the village of Shybrye in western Russia, Alexander Antonov, the dissident and a leader of the Tambov rebellion, was cornered with his brother Dmitry by Bolshevik spies from the Cheka. A ferocious firefight ensued, both siblings refusing to lay down their arms. But superior force prevailed, and the Antonov brothers are now dead.
Here's a Japanese sandman sneaking on without you. Just an old second-hand man, he'll buy your old days from you.
The Japanese are withdrawing their sandmen from the tundra. The Empire of Japan has announced it will, by the end of October, pull out all its remaining occupying forces from Bolshevik Siberia, with the exception of those on Sakhalin Island. In China, the Zhili-Fengtian War has officially ended with an armistice signed aboard the British cruiser HMS Curlew. The word reunification is in the air. The regional legislatures of the three Manchurian provinces, where Changzhoulin had attempted to establish a separate kingdom, have sent telegrams to Peking announcing that they are ready to reunite with the rest of the country under Li Yuanhong as president and Wu Tingfang as premier. In southern China, General Cheng Chungming, having carried out a coup against Sun Yat-sen, announced that he too is in favour of reunification. However, just days after being appointed Prime Minister, Wu Tingfang has died of pneumonia while en route to Peking to take up the post. Premier Wu was 79. The British authorities installed Sheikh Mahmud in power in Kurdistan to act as a buffer against the Turks and help secure the northern territory of their Mesopotamian mandate. Instead, Sheikh Mahmud proclaimed a new kingdom with himself as its king. London has been somewhat indulgent of the Sheikh's vanity, but the Kurds are now said to be in open rebellion against British authority. Speaking of League of Nations mandates, the House of Lords has voted to condemn government policy in the British mandate for Palestine. In his maiden speech in the Lords, the Earl of Balfour said that fears of a Zionist takeover were unfounded, and suggestions that Jewish organizations would be permitted political powers over the Arabs were a poor compliment to British government and to the League of Nations. He failed to sway the House, and the government was defeated 29 votes to 60. The Prince of Wales has returned to London after 8 months abroad. His Royal Highness stepped off the Royal Navy cruiser HMS Renown at Plymouth to be greeted by his younger brother, the Duke of York. The next day, he was cheered by enthusiastic well-wishers as his train passed through railway stations from Devon to London. In the United States, workers at the Southern Illinois Coal Company decided to take action against a group of non-union strikebreakers. After being besieged in the mine, about 50 so-called scabs surrendered, and after guarantees of safe passage out of the county, were marched to Herrin, about 5 miles away. But they were met by more Union men, one of whom yelled, "The only way to free the county of strikebreakers is to kill them all off and stop the breed." Another cried, "Let's see how fast you can run between here and Chicago, you damned gutter bums." The strikebreakers began running, and many were gunned down. Another was caught and hanged, with three more being shot at his feet. Another six were shot outside Smith's garage in Herrin. Another half dozen were seized, stripped naked, and forced to crawl to the town cemetery, where they were roped together, and a waiting crowd of about 1,000 urinated upon them. The six were then brutally beaten before their throats were cut. At least 22 of the strikebreakers are dead. After a 9-week trial in Waukegan, Len Small, governor of Illinois, has been found not guilty on charges of embezzlement of state funds. He returned home to Kankakee, and in the course of a party to celebrate the acquittal, his wife, Ida, suffered an attack of apoplexy and died a few hours later. Mrs. Small was 60. President Harding has told a delegation of representatives from the Philippines that the U.S. territory is not yet ready for independence, with reiterated assurance that we mean to hold no people under the flag who do not rejoice in that relationship, said Mr. Harding. I must say to you that the time is not yet for independence. I can imagine a continued progress which will make our bonds either easy to sever or rivet them more firmly, because you will it to be so.
Love her by radio. You will find it radio.
You can now love her by radio in Phoenix, Arizona. The city has its very first station, KFAD. The U.S. Senate has passed its annual naval appropriation bill, but defeated an amendment by Senator King, Democrat of Utah, to withdraw American troops from Haiti, Nicaragua, and the Dominican Republic.
Also enthralling, our love is calling, dear.
Neath the South Sea moon, the U.S. may soon have forces on the extremely remote territory of Wake Island in the South Pacific. The Navy submarine tender USS Beaver has arrived at the island, and surveyors led by Lieutenant Commander Sherwood Picking are investigating the feasibility of making it a fueling station to provide coal and oil for U.S. Navy ships. In San Antonio, Texas, 25 Army officers have founded the United States Army Automobile Association to provide insurance and other financial services to veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces. The Lincoln Highway is the first road for automobiles to traverse the United States, running from Times Square in New York to Lincoln Park in San Francisco via 11 other states. However, it is now incomplete and cut in two. A steamship, Glenaruel, crashed into the bridge over the Hackensack River in New Jersey, and the bridge collapsed. The world is waiting for the sunrise, because that big yellow ball in the sky has so many invigorating properties. The word vitamine, with an E on the end, was coined a decade ago from two existing words, vital and amine, meaning a derivative of ammonia. Vitamin C is not actually an amine, so they dropped the E and just called it a vitamin or a vitamin. There were three, now there are four. The biochemist Evie McCollum has isolated a new vitamin called vitamin D, which impacts bone growth and, says Dr. McCollum, could prevent rickets. The good news is it occurs naturally in sunlight. In sports news, at their meeting in Columbus, Ohio, the owners of the first nationwide professional football circuit, the American Professional Football Association, have voted to change the name of their organization to the National Football League. That is American football, of course. Across the Atlantic, the English Ladies Football Association, the world's first football league for ladies, have held their first championship, the Challenge Cup. Before 2,000 spectators in the rain at Cobridge, the Stoke Ladies defeated Doncaster and Bentley 3-1. Goals for the Stoke Ladies were scored by Daisy Bates, Elsie Stanier, and team captain Dolly Cooper, while the lone Doncaster goal went to Emma Smith. In golf, Jock Hutchison, a naturalised US citizen born in Scotland, won the British Open last year. This year, Walter Hagen won by a single stroke on 72 holes. George Duncan and Jim Barnes tied for second at 301, but Mr. Hagen ended on 300. Born in Rochester, New York, he is therefore the first native-born American to win golf's oldest championship. The English motorist Malcolm Campbell thought he'd set a new land speed record of 134.75 miles per hour, but the International Motorsport Authority in Paris has refused to recognise it because the speed was not recorded with the specified electrical measuring devices. Two members of the 1920 British Antarctic expedition have returned home after being marooned in Antarctica for more than a year. Maxime Lester of the British Mercantile Marine and Thomas Bagshaw, a student at Cambridge, had landed in December 1920 during the Antarctic summer after Sir Ernest Shackleton's ship Endurance had been crushed by ice, and against the advice of the Norwegian whalers with whom they had sailed, elected to stay. The two men built a hut from an old boat and some packing cases and managed to survive until they were picked up by a whaling boat earlier this year. The pair are the smallest team, fewest in number, ever to survive a winter in Antarctica. Gypsy band anywhere on earth that does not know this piece of music, the famous Chardash, composed by the Italian conductor and violinist Vittorio Monti. Signor Monti is dead at 54. William Rockefeller Jr. was the son of the famous con artist William Rockefeller Sr. and a co-founder of Standard Oil with his brother John D. Rockefeller. William, John, and John's son were traveling by automobile to their childhood home in Richford, New York, when William caught a cold which worsened into pneumonia. Mr. Rockefeller is dead at 81. Alexander McRobert was a poor boy from Aberdeen who founded the British India Corporation and became a millionaire. Earlier this year, he was raised to a baronetcy, but he did not enjoy it for long. Sir Alexander is dead at 68. One of the most famous photographers in America and the pioneer of the first nationwide chain of photographic studios, the Marceau Studios. He created many memorable images, such as a lady in a white bodysuit bearing the stars and stripes and the British ensign. Mr. Marceau is dead at 63. Japanese sumo wrestling, it is not to everyone's tastes with its luxuriant display of oriental flesh, but Hitachiyama Taniemon was undoubtedly one of its greatest practitioners. His sudden death at the age of 48 has convulsed the sport, and his funeral procession was said to be 5 miles long. Jacobus Kapteyn was an eminent Dutch astronomer who studied extensively the Milky Way and discovered galactic rotation. He had just recently published his somewhat controversial Life's Work, first attempt at a theory of the arrangement and motion of the sidereal system. Professor Kapteyn is dead at 71. And that's the way of the world, June 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media, all rights reserved.